restrictions for COVID-19. It's deadline day for the government's testing plan, and it looks like their target of testing 100,000 a day won't be met. But we've heard of many people who've experienced COVID mildly or who've tested positive with no symptoms at all. If you want to know what percentage of the UK have had COVID, the only way to see is an antibody or serology test. And why are the antibodies there? When a virus like coronavirus invades the body's cells, it hijacks their machinery to make multiple copies of itself. Our immune system fights back using antibodies, immunoglobulin or IG proteins, that attach to the virus. Think of them as foot soldiers of our body's battle. Over the course of the battle, new waves of foot soldiers, different types of IG molecules, become increasingly good at recognising the specific enemy virus. Here's Nottingham University's Professor of Virology, Jonathan Ball, to explain more.
There are lots of different flavours of antibody. The first antibody you see following an infection is IgM. They bind weakly to the target that they're attaching to, but because there are multiple copies of the IgM, then that gives them the strength of binding. But over time, they're replaced by a different molecule called mainly IgG, and that arises through improvement of the IgM antibody. So essentially, the antibody gets lots of mutations. So as the cells change from IgM-producing cells to IgG-producing cells, they become a better binder for the specific virus that you're trying to fight off, and in this case, COVID-19. The other important flavour of antibody, particularly for viruses that attack the respiratory system, is a type of antibody called IgA. And that antibody can be secreted. And so that provides protection actually at the surface. For example, in the cells lining your lungs or your nose to stop the virus getting into the cells.
So these IgGs, they don't kill the virus itself. They just stop it getting into your cells.
Yes, they bind to it. So if you think about what a virus is trying to do, it needs to attach onto a cell to infect, and then it needs to actually get inside that cell. And by binding to the surface of the virus, the antibody physically stops that whole process from happening. So that's the main two ways that we think these antibodies work.
Okay, so for COVID-19 antibody test, is it looking for those antibodies, the IgM, the IgG, the IgA?
Yeah, you're looking for those antibodies that have been specifically trained to latch onto and recognise the virus.
How do you go about detecting these in the lab?
So it's a fairly simple test. Most of the COVID-19 tests are focusing on a protein that sits at the surface of the virus, and it's called the spike protein. If you look at the picture of a virus and it looks like a crown, the bits that are sticking out, those are the spike proteins. And so you essentially just stick them down onto a plastic surface, and they will bind to that plastic surface, and then you can add your serum on top, and only those antibodies that recognize the COVID-19 protein will bind to that protein. And then you simply detect the bound antibody, usually using a second antibody that recognizes human antibodies. And that second antibody has got an enzyme added to it so that we can add a solution, and then usually that solution will change color. And the amount of color change that you see is dependent on the amount of antibody that you've bound to your target protein. So if you get lots of colour, you've got lots of antibodies. And if you get no colour, then you haven't any antibodies.
If different types of antibody are being produced in sequence, is there a danger of testing too soon?
Yes, unfortunately. So if you imagine somebody becomes exposed to the virus, that virus has what we call an incubation period. So that's time when the virus will be basically amplifying itself within the lungs or the nose or the throat. And then after a while, after you've reached certain levels of virus, then you'll start to detect the presence of antibodies. And that's why we don't use an antibody test to screen, for example, healthcare workers or to identify people who are currently infected, because it's excellent for identifying people who have been infected, but you can't guarantee that it will pick up everybody who's infected.
How accurate is this test for COVID-19? What's important when it comes to accuracy?
With the COVID-19 virus, there are other related viruses that circulate, and they also produce antibodies. And unfortunately, some of those antibodies can potentially cross-react and so recognize the protein that you're using in your COVID-19 specific assay. And so you get what you call a false positive. And that's all related to what we call specificity. So how specific is your antibody test for the virus that you're actually trying to detect? And the other thing is sensitivity. So that's how many antibodies that are circulating in the serum that you can detect. And obviously, the more sensitive a test, the lower amount of antibodies that you can detect. And so we always try and get the test to be as sensitive as possible, but also to keep them as specific as possible so that you're only detecting COVID-19 antibodies.
If it's not sensitive enough, it's going to miss people who didn't have a big enough antibody level in their blood. And then if it's not specific enough, it might pick up people that have had another coronavirus, but who won't necessarily have immunity to COVID-19, and they'll be put at risk.
That's the big problem with specificity. So sensitivity is a problem in that you can miss people who have been infected, but the specificity issue is probably more important, because if you have somebody who thinks that they've seen the virus but they're actually not protected, then that's a danger, particularly if we say that they're safe and they can be exposed to the virus. So people like healthcare workers, for example.
So how accurate does an antibody test need to be to help stem the pandemic? To ease the lockdown, theoretically, it would make sense to release people who've had COVID-19 and who have immunity. So-called immunity passports are controversial because it's unclear how long COVID immunity lasts, and ideally, you'd want a test that picks up all the right people, yet none of the uninfected population. So how accurate are antibody tests? It's a question I put to Eleanor Riley, Professor of Immunology and Infectious Disease at Edinburgh University.
It depends on what we're using the test for. So if we're using the test to inform an individual about their prior exposure, their prior infection, and their future risk of infection, then we need the test to be both specific to say, yes, you have had COVID-19 as opposed to some other virus. And we also need the test to be sensitive to say, your test is positive and we're sure it's COVID-19, or your test is negative and therefore we're pretty sure you haven't had it. So for an individual test, we would expect the sensitivity and specificity of the test to be above 98%. If we're thinking about using the test to assess what proportion of the population across the country has been infected, we don't need the test to be quite as accurate. We're using it to assess at a population level. Has 5% of the population been exposed to this virus? 10, 20, 60%. We can statistically compensate if, for example, we know that the test is missing 5 or 10%.
So testing for antibodies at a population level has a lower acceptable level of accuracy. Have we even hit that for COVID-19?
These rapid tests that look a little bit like the pregnancy test, the evidence so far of the ones that have been tested here in the UK is that they are quite specific. If they give you a positive, it's pretty high chance that you have genuinely had the COVID-19 virus. The problem with them seems to be that their sensitivity is far too low for them to be useful. And this is probably because in very many people, actually, the antibody levels are quite low.
We've been told about people who experience COVID quite mildly. Are they likely to have a lower antibody response?
That does seem to be the evidence that's emerging. And so this test isn't sensitive enough to pick up those low levels of antibodies. But we do have another option, which is to do a lab-based assay where we send blood to a central lab and we test for the presence of antibodies using a different type of test called an ELISA test, which is very, very sensitive. Again, they're highly specific. And as long as the sample was taken at least 2 weeks after the person developed symptoms, they seem to be highly sensitive. The problem with those assays at the moment is all of those tests were done on people who had had clinically diagnosed COVID-19 and therefore probably had quite strong antibody levels. So we don't know how they will perform out in the population, and we don't know yet if the ELISA assay is sensitive enough to pick up those people. So we've still got some more work to do to see what proportion of people who we know have been infected actually have antibodies that we can detect with any of these tests.
Given what you were saying, the government has announced, it was last week, that antibody tests would be part of a new study to track COVID-19 in the population. And they're going to be taking blood samples from adults in 1,000 households, and they're going to be using the ELISA test that we've mentioned to find out who's already had the virus. Is that going to tell us anything about immunity in the population?
It will give us an idea of what proportion of people have antibodies that are detectable. But in and of itself, I don't think it's large enough.
How big should we go?
So it depends on the actual prevalence. And that's why the initial 1,000 will help. If the prevalence is high, in other words, if 60% of us have already had the virus, then actually you don't need that many people, because the first 1,000 you test, you'll get 600 positives, and you can be reasonably confident that that is a pretty good guess. But if the true exposure is, say, less than 5%, for every 1,000 people you look at, you'll only get 50 positives. Then that 50 dotted here and there across the country and across age groups and across different occupations, behaviours, exposures really doesn't tell you whether it's low everywhere or just low in some places. So the first 1,000 samples will tell us whether we're in the 5% ballpark of exposure or the 60%. And that will then help us to design a bigger study that is sufficiently powered, as we say, to make very good estimates across the country of levels of transmission.
Sounds useful, but hang on. Even if the ELISA test is able to detect COVID-19 antibodies accurately enough to give a picture of population level immunity, we're still in the dark about what COVID immunity even looks like. It's not clear how long your antibodies will protect you from being reinfected by COVID-19. Jonathan Ball again.
We know from other coronaviruses that you can detect antibodies for a few months, maybe a few years, for example, with SARS coronavirus. We know that antibodies can last for 2 or 3 years. This isn't particularly long-lived immunity, but at the moment we don't understand how long the immunity will last for the virus causing COVID-19.
If we don't know whether antibodies convey long-term immunity, why test for antibodies at all?
Testing for antibodies is important because we've all heard of the very controversial concept of herd immunity, and that means how many people in your population have either been vaccinated, well, we don't have a vaccine for COVID-19, and at some point there will be sufficient people in your population, and we think it's going to be between sort of a half and two-thirds of the population. If they've seen the virus and they have some level of immunity, then the virus is going to find it difficult to cause outbreaks.
And this is where the value of a large population-wide antibody survey comes in. It would give a nuanced picture of who is particularly at risk. Eleanor Riley again.
So if we have large numbers of people across the country for whom we have data, you would certainly be focusing your areas of concern. So if it turns out that 60% of Londoners have already been exposed, but only 5% of people living in Glasgow, you would be particularly concerned about a second wave in Glasgow and perhaps a little less concerned about a second wave in London. If we have antibody data on care workers and NHS staff and bus drivers and train drivers, we'll be able to drill down on the epidemic much more effectively.
And if you're doing a bigger study, is there enough lab capacity to handle such a mass of samples?
Yes, I think there is. ELISAs are very easy to scale up. I was talking to a colleague in London just a couple of days ago who says without any problem whatsoever, he could get his lab running 20, 25,000 a week just in one lab. And I think it could be done quite quickly if there was a political will.
Eleanor Riley, ending on a positive note that we do have the lab capacity to do many more ELISA-style tests. And yesterday saw the announcement of a test based on the ELISA method, which would allow even more samples to be processed with 99% accuracy. Inside Science may be the